بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. We begin in this session, in this sitting, with a new chapter and a new section from the sections of the book of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and that is Babu Uquq Al-Walidain. Babu Uquq Al-Walidain. Generally, Ikhwan, the scholars they mention concerning Al-Imam Al-Bukhari that the fiqh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is present within his chapter headings. The fiqh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is present within his chapter headings. And that is that the method of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and the path of Imam Al-Bukhari is that he would gather the ahadith that were relevant to the topic that he wished to discuss. He would gather them together in one place, and then he would discuss that which was present within them from ma'ani, from meaning, and from fiqh. And that, no doubt, Ikhwan, is the method and the path of the salaf of this ummah in establishing the fiqh of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is that they would return their affairs back to nusus, back to text. And they would limit their own speech as much as possible. Here Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he begins and mentions the chapter heading, Babu Uquq Al-Walidain, the chapter concerning Uquq Al-Walidain, or being disobedient to one's parents. And then he mentions his chain of narration, wherein he says, Hadathana Musaddad, Qala Hadathana Bishr ibn al-Fadl, Qala Hadathana al-Jurayri, عن عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر عن أبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أنبئكم بأكبر الكبائر ثلاثا قالوا بلى يا رسول الله قال الإشراك بالله وعقوق الوالدين وجلس وكان متكئا ألا وقول الزور ما زال يكررها حتى قلت ليته سكت. In this hadith, Ikhwan, that is azim, and a hadith that establishes a number of evil deeds and a number of acts of disobedience, and from the greatest of the acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions his chain of narration wherein he mentions the hadith that returns back to Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakrah and Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakrah narrates from his father Abu Bakrah. And he then says, and that is not Abu Bakr, Ikhwan, that is Abi Bakrah, Abu Bakrah. He then says, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al kaba'ir. Shall I not inform you of the akbar al kaba'ir, of the greatest of the major sins? Should I not inform you of the greatest of the kaba'ir al-dhunub, you know, of the major sins? And so the companions, ridwan Allah alayhim, they said, Bala ya Rasulallah. They said, Yes, O Messenger of Allah. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued by saying that indeed they are, after mentioning that three times, yani, after saying, should I not inform you of the greatest of the deeds, of the evil deeds? Should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? Should I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? And he said that three times. And so the companions, they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. And so the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-ishraqu billah wa uquq al-walidain wa jalasa wa kana muttaki'an. He said, and then the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jalasa wa kana muttaki'an. After saying, first and foremost, al-ishraqu billah, the first of them, making shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he mentioned the second of them, وَعُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, being disobedient to one's parents. He said, وَجَلَسَ وَكَانَ مُتَّكِئًا. He said, he sat up, or prior to that, he was lying down, reclining. And he sat up and said, أَلَا وَقَوْلُ السُّوءِ. He said, indeed, it is the false statement. And in a very narration, it mentions that the Messenger ﷺ said, Ala wa qawl al-zur, ala wa shahadat al-zur. Indeed, it is the false statement. Indeed, it is the false testimony. He said, وَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْتُ لَيْتَهُ سَكَتْ. That he did not cease repeating that statement until I said, if only he would stop. And if only he would remain silent and stop. So in this hadith then, Abi Bakrah, the Sahabi al-Jaleel, Nufay' ibn Harith al-Thaqafi, he said that indeed the Messenger of Allah informed us on an occasion, should I not tell you of the greatest of the kabair? Sheikh Zayd rahimahullah, hafidhullahu ta'ala, he said that al-kabair kathira, the major sins, they are many. وقد ذكر العلماء ضابط الكبيرة فقالوا هي الذنب الذي يترتب عليه حد في الدنيا وعقوبة في الآخرة أو الذنب الذي يختم بلعنة أو غضب. He said that indeed the scholars mentioned concerning the major sin is that it is that sin that has placed upon it a prescribed punishment in the dunya, or a punishment in the hereafter, or it is the sin that is sealed with the curse of Allah or his anger. Yani, whoever does such and such, then upon him is the curse of Allah. Whoever does such and such, then upon him is the anger of Allah. And so on that basis, the Sheikh mentioned, the major sins then are not encompassed by seven sins. And they are not restricted to seven sins or nine. In fact, it is narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who was asked about the kabair, are they seven in number? And so he responded by saying, Hiya ila sab'een aqrab. He said they are actually close to 70 in an authentic athar, an authentic narration from him. And there are other narrations, and some of them, they mentioned that he was asked about the kabair, are they seven? And he said, Hiya ila sab'miya ni'a aqrab. That they are closer to 700. And so, therefore, any sin that has in it a mention of a punishment in the dunya, or there is a threat, a strong threat, or a threat of being cursed, or the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal being upon them, or there is painful punishment in the hereafter, all of these forms of wordings and all of these types of sins are considered kabair. They are all considered major sins. The greatest of them then, the Sheikh discusses, is the first of those sins, and that is al-ishraqu billah. That is to make shirk with Allah, whether it is shirk al-akbar or shirk al-asghar, whether major or minor shirk. Both of those forms of shirk indeed are considered the greatest of the major sins, whether it is major shirk or minor shirk. Of course, major shirk is greater and more dangerous, and it is that a person turns an act of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, direct an act of worship to other than Allah azza wa jal, or ishraku ghayri Allahi ma Allahi fil ibadah, or that a person performs an act of worship for Allah and for someone else. So it could be that the act of worship in its completion and in totality is returned to and is performed for someone other than Allah, or that that person performs it for Allah and he also performs it for that someone else. All of that is considered shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Shaykh said, therefore, it is a must that a person checks, constantly reviews himself from time to time and asks himself, is he free of this shirk or has he fallen into it? Is he free of this minor shirk, major or minor, or has he fallen into it? For indeed, hidden shirk, or shirk is hidden in this ummah, and as hidden as the footsteps of the ant. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الشرك فيكم أخفى من دبيب النمل. That indeed, shirk among you is more hidden than the footsteps of an ant. And that then is something that should instill fear in our hearts for falling into it. He mentioned, وهو أن يقصد الإنسان بعبادته مع الله غيره فيزينها من أجل نظر الناس إليه أو قصد المدح والثناء عليه. As far as this minor shirk or this hidden shirk, it is that a person intends by way of his act of worship to Allah other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And so he beautifies his act of worship because of the fact that the people look at him and see him, or that he intends to be praised by way of that action. And that, no doubt, is from the forms of shirk that the Messenger of Allah was referring to in the hadith. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أخبركم بما هو أخوف عليكم عندي من المسيح الدجال. He said on an occasion, should I not inform you of what is more frightening, or what I fear for you, the more than a Dajjal? Something that I fear for you more than a Dajjal. And so they said, Bala. They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. So he said, الشرك الخفي. That is that hidden shirk. أن يقوم الرجل يصلي فيزين صلاته لما يرى من نظر الرجل. He said, that is that a person stands in salah and he beautifies his prayer because of what he sees from the people looking at him, from a man looking at him. And so as far as shirk al-akbar is concerned, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ فَهَرَامٌ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. As far as major shirk, whoever dies upon it, then Jannah is haram for him. Even if he lived among the ranks, and in and among the ranks of the Muslims for the whole of his life, if he dies upon that, then the origin and the asl is that he Jannah is haram for him. Jannah is haram for him. Like those who slaughter for other than Allah, or make oaths for other than Allah, or visit soothsayers and magicians and palm readers, or those who enter into and embark upon other forms of shirk. Regardless of what type of shirk it is, ikhwan, then it is haram. It is considered a major sin, and the threat of that which is present within all of these ahadith, they are all threats that he must stand and face. And so, ikhwan, the affair is one that is shadeed. As far as the affair of shirk is concerned, and hidden shirk particularly, then from its manifestations is that a person, he says, لَوْلَا فُلَانَ مَا حَصَلَ لِي كَذَا. If it were not for such and such an individual, then I would not have received such and such. Or like saying, it is as you and Allah has willed. And all of that, Ikhwan, is considered minor shirk. Both of them, both the categories of shirk, both major and minor, both of them are considered from the greatest. In fact, they are the greatest of the evil deeds. Then the message of Allah Sallam within the hadith, he discussed the second kabira, second major sin, that is uquq al-walidain. Uquq al-walidain. Sheikh Zayd, he mentions, ثم ذكر عقوق الوالدين وأنه من كبائر العظيمة من الكبائر العظيمة وأن أن البر من الأعمال الخيرية العظيمة ومن أسباب دخول الجنات وتكفير السيئات ورفع الدرجات والحياة الطيبة المباركة للبار لوالديه في الدنيا والبرزخ والآخرة. He said that indeed the affair of disobedience to parents being mentioned here, what we have is a reference to the fact that it is from the major, the great major sins. And that the one who is dutiful, or that being dutiful, is from and considered from the righteous actions of the deed. If being disobedient is a sin, then being upon righteous actions with the one as it relates to any individual in relation to his parents, to be dutiful to them, is considered a noble deed. And so Sheikh, he said that in it is the raising of a person's levels. In it is the establishment of a good life for the one who is dutiful to their parent. In it is that the one who is dutiful to their parent, then Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for him in the dunya the removal of sin, the expiation of sin in the dunya, and the raising of levels. And it is khair for him in the dunya and in the barzakh when he's in his grave, and likewise in the hereafter. And the opposite of that stands true, that uquq al-walidain, being sinful, disobedient and sinful to one's parents, is from the worst and from the most evil of deeds. And those who carry it out, they are inevitably from among those who are under the threat of punishment in the barzakh and in the hereafter, if he dies upon that without making tawbah. He mentions, فواجب المسارعة إلى البر ورفض الحقوق الحقوق والصبر. He said, so it is a must that we hasten to be dutiful to our parents and repel being evil and disobedient to them. And we repel that. That is from the fundamentals of our religion. In the Messenger of Allah, he spoke concerning Shahadat al-Zur. He spoke concerning the false testimony and he made its affair enormous. Because of the fact that it is kadhib, and kadhib is haram, yani lying, and lying is haram. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah, he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبِ فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَتَحَرَّى الْكَذِبَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. The Messenger of Allah, he said, be aware of lying. So indeed, lying leads to evil within a person. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. And that fujur leads to the fire. And a man does not continue or does not cease lying and being upon kadhib, being ardent in speaking about kadhib and being upon it, or speaking with kadhib and then lying. The Messenger of Allah said that a person does not cease being in that state and seeking to lie until Allah Azza wa Jal writes him down as a kadhab. Till Allah Azza wa Jal writes him down as a liar. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned against this shahadat al-zur, this false testimony. So indeed it is from the worst forms of speech. And there are numerous evils based upon it. from that, we have the evil of a person wronging himself. He wrongs himself first and foremost. And that is by committing the sin of making a false testimony. Secondly, that he wrongs the one who he made that testimony against. The one that he made that testimony against, he wrongs that individual by oppressing him in whatever way, shape, or form that occurs. And thus he is oppressed because of that false testimony that the people believed was true, but it led to nothing but oppression and the removal of those who have God-given rights. And so the affair then of the affair of Shahadat al-Zur is one, Ikhwan, that is tremendous and azim. And the Messenger of Allah, in order to emphasize the evil of carrying out this affair and being upon it, the Shahadat al-Zur, the Messenger of Allah, when he spoke about Ishraqu Billah wa Uquq al-Walidain, he was lying down. Then when it came to the discussion of Shahadat al-Zur, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat up. And the scholars have mentioned that this movement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in order to bring light to the tremendous and grave nature of the sin of false testimony. And so he was lying down and he sat up to let them understand the importance of what he was about to say. So the Messenger of Allah, he said, indeed, it is the false testimony. Indeed, it is the false statement. And so here, the Messenger of Allah, as Bufayy' bin Harith al-Thaqafi Abu Bakr, he informs us that he continued to repeat that statement until we said, later hu sakat, until we said, if only he would remain silent, if only he would stop. The Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala mentioned concerning the hadith then that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came yuhadithu ashabahu wa huwa muttaki', that he was narrating to his companions while he was lying down. Yuhadithuhum an ash-shirk wa khatari wa an uquq al-walidain thumma ata ila shahadati az-zur جلس لأهمية الأمر وكان متكئا فجلس فقال ألا وشهادة الزور ألا وشهادة الزور. قال الراوي فما زال يكررها حتى قلنا ليته سكت من شدة الخوف من عقوبة الذنوب. He said, as far as the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم were concerned, when they were listening to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was lying down and he was narrating to them concerning shirk and its danger. And as far as the second affair, and the Messenger of Allah, after speaking about shirk, he mentioned uquq al-walidain. And for that reason, Imam al-Bukhari, he mentioned it here in the chapter. And then the third affair, that which is related to the Shahadat al-Zur, when he came to it, he sat up. Because of, as Sheikh Zayed mentions here, the Ahmiyat al-Amr, because of the importance of this affair. He was lying down and then he sat up to emphasize that what I'm about to say is something very serious. And so the Messenger of Allah continued to repeat the statement, Ala wa Shahadat al-Zur, Ala wa Qawl al-Zur. He continued to repeat the statement. he did so to the extent the companions from them, Abu Bakr, he said, Laytahu sakat, if only he would desist from repeating the statement. And that was because of the great fear that they had in their hearts for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the outcome of that disobedience. They were well acquainted with that. and thus they would not claim, and they would be from among those who would take the lessons and would learn from that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to them. And so the Shaykh, he said, he said, فَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَن يُحَصِّنَ نَفْسَهُ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ فِي أَيِّ مَجَالٍ مِنَ الْمَجَالَاتِ وَفِي أَيِّ حَالٍ مِنَ الْأَحْوَالِ لَا يَكْذِبُ وَلَوْ سُمِيَ الْكَذِبُ بِغَيْرِ إِسْمِهِ لَا يَكْذِبُ بل عليه دائما أن يعوذ نفسه الصدق أو يمسك لسانه حتى لا يقع في جريمة الكذب التي هي من كبائر الذنوب. والله أعلم. He said here that it is upon the Muslim then to be eager to protect himself from كذب. Regardless of the sitting, regardless of the occasion, he should not lie. And even if it means that he has to find a mountain or find somewhere desolate, he does not fall into this sin of kadhib. He avoids kadhib regardless. Not brothers and sisters, other than the majalat and the areas wherein it is and may be permissible for a person to lie, to rectify between individuals, for example, the origin is that a person, by any means necessary, avoids kadhib. Even if Sheikh Zayd mentions here, even if the people are naming kadhib by other than its name. Which is something that occurs. Kadhib, lying, is given a name other than its reality, which is lying. Oh, I was only joking. You mean you were only lying. Regardless of whether lies and kadhib have been given names other than their true name, the reality is that the mu'min, the believer, he nurtures himself upon being truthful and upon holding his tongue. So as to not fall into this great jarima, and this great sin, and this great crime of kadhib, which is considered from the kaba'ir al-dunub. Hada wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.